We're looking now at the Mishnah on Daf Pei Zayin Amud Beis, and the Mishnah is discussing the case of a chenvani, a storekeeper, and the buyer, the purchaser, sent his child, and some even have the girsa of Beno Katan, to purchase oil, and he sent with him money to pay for this oil. All this was sent to the storekeeper. And in the process of receiving the oil, etc., the katan broke the barrel and all the oil was lost. Even the money was gone. Does the chenvani, does the storekeeper have liability? Hashalech es bino etzel chenvani. Some have the girsa u fujon biyado. That's the value of 2 isrim. And the child was sent to the chenvani to purchase oil at the value of 1 isar, meaning he's going to pay 2 isrim, a fujon, to the chenvani, and the child is going to receive the shemen and an isar change. Umadadlo, the chenvani poured the oil into the container, the receptacle, the isar shemen, the volume of shemen that is valued at an isar, which is exactly what the father had in mind to purchase when he sent his son. V'nasan lo esa isar. And the chenvani not only gave the child the oil in the flask, but he also paid him the change, the isar. Shavar, now the child breaks esatzluchis, this flask of oil, and all the oil was spilled out. The ibed es ha'isar. And not only that, the child, to boot, lost the isar that was sent back as change. Chenvani chayev, according to the Tanakama, the chenvani has to pay 3 things. He has to pay for the tzluchis, the flask that broke, he has to pay for the oil, and he has to replace that isar that was lost. In other words, the Tanakama is of the opinion, as the Gemara is going to explain, that the chenvani is liable. He's negligent. He should not have entrusted the oil and the money and the tzluchis into the hands of this child. But Rav Yehuda says that in this case the chenvani is exempt from any liability. Why? Shalmanas kein shlocho. Because the father expressly sent the child in order to receive the oil and the change back. There's no responsibility, therefore, on the shoulders of the storekeeper. The storekeeper is alleviated from any responsibility. That's according to Rabbi Yehuda. Umodim chachamim. Rabbi Yehuda, the Mishnah ends by telling us that there is one case or one element in the equation where the chachamim agree to Rabbi Meir's understanding that the chenvani is free of any liability. Bizman shehatzluchis biyad hatinok umadad hachenvani lesocha. If the chenvani himself never took this flask into his hands, the child brought the flask, is holding it, and it never left the hands of the child of the tinok, and the chenvani poured the oil, measuring it out, into this flask, in such a case, even the chacham agrees shechenvani patur. The chenvani, the storekeeper, is not responsible for the tzluchis. He never even took hold of the tzluchis. But nevertheless, he still has an obligation to pay for the value of the shemen and, of course, the lost isar. And the Gemara is going to go through various options. We're presenting the first of those options. The Gemara now analyzes this machlokes between the Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda Bishleim. I can understand that machlokas be'isar v'shemen, that since the chenvani handed over an isar, meaning the change, and the shemen and the oil, we have a very plausible way of explaining the controversy between Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda. They argue about what was the nature of the shlichus when the father sent his son to the chenvani. What exactly was being told to the chenvani? Is b'ha pligi rabbanan safri lo duye shadre? According to the chachamim, the father sent the child just to notify the chenvani that he needs oil, and that the chenvani therefore should prepare that volume of oil for sale. And he should, of course, send the oil and the change in the hands of a pikeach, of a person who's mature and older. He never, the father, meant that the storekeeper should send the oil and the change with the hands of the tinok. And therefore the Chenvani, by making a stupid move and relying on this tinok, is responsible. But Rabbi Yehuda Savar, he interprets the shlichus here a different way, l'shadure le shadre, that the father sent the child in order that the storekeeper should send the oil and, of course, the change through the agency of the child, in the hands of the child. And therefore the father has alleviated the chenvani of his responsibility. So all that fits in well, and we can understand there's a machlokas about whether the chenvani is liable to pay for the lost oil and for the change. However, ella shavar hatsluchis, but when the child breaks the flask, this is hard to understand. Why did the Chachamim say that in this case the chenvani is obligated to pay? After all, this flask was sent by the father through the son, and that's called aveda midas, meaning it was a definite and deliberate decision on the part of the father that the child could hold on to this tsluchis, and the father, in a sense, relies on the child. And if you take a look here in both the Rashbam and Rashi and Bav Metzia, they say that aveda midas is a term that refers to something where the Bailim left an object in a place where it will be lost, and therefore the finder doesn't even have to return it. It's a ptur and afka of Hashavas Aveda, because I don't have to return to you that which you deliberately lost. If you left it in a vulnerable position, knowing full well it would be lost, then the finder doesn't have to return it. And here in this case, the Rashbam says it's like he was mafkir the tzluchis, meaning it was obvious to the father that by sending the tzluchis with the child, who doesn't have the capacity, the maturity to guard the tzluchis, that it might very well be broken. And therefore, as far as the payment for the tzluchis is concerned, the chenvani should certainly be relieved of any obligation to compensate the father of any level or element of liability. As far as the Shemin is concerned, or the Isar is concerned, then we understand the Chachamim, what was the Chenvani thinking? Why did he take it upon himself to send the oil and the money with the child? And therefore the Rabbanan insists that the Chenvani is going to be liable. And that's called Lo Duye Shadri. But as far as the Tzluchas is concerned, clearly the father has demonstrated the fact that he doesn't care about the tzluchas or what's going to happen to the tzluchas. If it's destined to be lost, so be it. Why does the chenvani therefore bear responsibility and liability to pay and compensate the father, the owner of the tzluchas, for that flask? The Rashbam seems to imply that he accepts the shita of other Rishonim, which is the Torah shita, that aveda midas is hefker. And that's why the Rashbam applies the yardstick of hefker in this context. This is against the Rambam. The Rambam in Perek Yud Aleph Milchus Gzela is of the opinion that even though there's a ptur in Chiyuv Hashavas Aveda in the case of Aveda Midas, but nevertheless, the finder is not allowed to keep it for himself. In other words, Aveda Midas is not Hefker. And the Taz, in defense of the Rambam, pounces on the tur, and he says that, l'chora, we would say that the Chenvani should certainly be part of Mikol V'chol in any event, because he could be Zoche in the Fundayon for himself. He doesn't have to pay anything in return, because the concept of Aveda Midas, of Hefker, should apply not only vis-a-vis the Tzluchis, but also with regard to the Fundayon, which was likewise sent in the hands of the child. The father made that decision to send the money, in this case to Isarim, in the hands of the child. That too should constitute aveda midas. Why does the chenvani have to pay for that money? He should be able to be zocha min ha-hefker. At least according to the Rambam says it's not hefker. Again, it's a patur of hashava, but he's not allowed to keep it for himself. He's got to return it to its owner. In the case of the tzluchas is broken, and that aveda midas exempts the storekeeper from paying any sort of compensation. And this becomes a sugya which is invoked as a proof to the shitas Rambam with regard to aveda midas against the shita of the tour, which is accepted here by the Rashbam. The Ketzos HaChoshen adds that even the tour admits that if the owner of the object left this object in a place where there's some element of shmira, it's not totally hefker. For example, he gave it over to the hands of his son, his child. That doesn't become hefker. Again, even though there's no chiyuv hashava, but there is ownership. It's not hefker. When does the tour maintain that there's aveda midas is hefker gomur? That's in the case where the bialim left the object totally vulnerable, out there in the middle of the public thoroughfare. It doesn't have any element of shmira at all. But says the Ketzos, in the case where the father gave it over to his son, albeit his son is a katan, but nevertheless there's some element of shmira that the son could provide. And this, I think, really depends upon a sugya earlier in Bava Mekama about the case of a shalheves, a fire that was sent, shileh ha'av biyad b'no. And the question is whether or not the son, if he's a katan, can provide some, at least minimum, element of shmira to protect the fire from going out. Here too, would the son provide some minimal element of shmira to protect the money that he was sent in his hand by the father? According to Gemara's question, the Gemara objects to the Chachamim, why is the Chenvani liable for the Tzluchis since it was sent as an Aveda Midas with the father's permission? Now, as far as the Isar is concerned, do we really understand why the Chenvani is Chayav? After all, the father sent the Fudjon in the hands of the Ben. So couldn't the Chenvani counter-argue that since the father sent the Fudjon in the hands of the Ben, how much more so can he send him back the Isar, which is half the value of the Fudjon? And the Rashbam says that the Chenvani doesn't have such a valid claim. And Tosus embellishes the Rashbam by saying that if the Chenvani would return to the Ben that very same pigeon itself, he would in fact be potter. But on a different coin, namely the Isar, which he sends back as change, he cannot claim that there's a patur of Aveda Midas. So Aveda Midas is not some sort of gili milsa in a more general sense about the hisnagus and the attitude of the father, but rather it's something that's chal on a particular heftza that was put in a place where it's hefker, where it can be lost. It's eno mishtam. But that doesn't apply to the Isar, which is being sent back by the Chenvani to the Ben, through the Ben to the father. On the Mishnayos here, we have a commentary of the Tiferes Yisrael. He writes that it's possible that only with regard to the funjon, the father is not afraid to send it with the Ben because it's a very large coin and the Ben will certainly be careful about protecting it. The Isar, on the other hand, is a small coin and the child is not going to be careful about guarding that small coin, and therefore the father would never have agreed to send this small coin in the hands of the child. The Rashbam, later on at Daf Pei Ches Amid Aleph, claims that the Chenvani that we're talking about is that the Av was rugged to send money over to this Chenvani, and he would even give an advance in payment and pay the Pujon for something that's only worth an Isar. Therefore, according to the Rashbam's pshat later on, in fact, the father did not send any matbeah with the son because he had given the Chenvani money in advance. The Gemara answers, Omer Rav Hoshea, Hacham Bebal, Habayis, Mocher, Tzlochios, Askinon. We're talking about a case of a father who is in the business of selling these kinds of flasks, and if he agrees to sell the flask to the Chenvani, if the Chenvani will agree to purchase the flask. Kigon, Shenotla, or Shenetola, Chenvani, Almanas, Levakra. What does that mean? we're not just dealing with a case of a person who sells flasks, but moreover, he was sending this flask with the child so that the storekeeper would take a look at it and hopefully would purchase it. And the Mishnah's ruling is applicable to the case of Almanas Levakra, and therefore when the Chenvani returns the flask to his son, meaning to the father through the son, then we could apply the principle of Shmuel. So we're about to learn the principle of Shmuel. Keep in mind again, the Chenvani received this flask in order to check it out, to inspect it, and to weigh the possibilities and consider the possibility of actually purchasing it. And we're going to now activate the principle, the statement of Shmuel, with regard to kelim that are for sale. And this again is sugya later on that we're going to get to, Mirtz Hashem. And these kelim have a certain fixed price, and they're in very great demand. And now what happens is that a prospective purchaser lifts up the utensil in order to inspect it. He wants to see if he wants to buy it. And the principal of Shmuel is going to surprise us when he says, the Amar Shmuel, anotu kli min ha'uman almanas levakro v'nenas b'yel chayev, that since the potential buyer picks up the utensil in his hands in order to inspect it and decide whether he wants to buy it, then at that point he becomes responsible for the object itself. And if it falls and breaks, and there was a price, a definite price that was either agreed upon, and the prospective buyer knew about that price, or maybe it was just the going price in the market, chayav. In other words, since there was a definite price, then we have to assume that as soon as the buyer picked up the object, he really was hoping and intending to buy it. He knew what the price was. If he would have been turned off by the price, he never would have bothered inspecting it. So the fact that he inspected it means he had some sort of level, according to Shmuel, of gmiras das, of a decision, a quasi-decision, perhaps a contingent decision, but a decision nevertheless to buy the object. At that point, the hagbah, when he lifts it up, generates a chiv achrayus, in which case he is responsible and liable for the loss of that object. And he will not be exempt until the point that he returns that object to the hands of the owner. And again, this is very contemporary in terms of people who walk into stores and they pick up objects, items that are for sale, knowing that this merchandise is going to be sold at such and such a value, and they inspect it, and then, lo and behold, it breaks in their hands. That's called onus. Now, the Rashbam asks the following question: what if the buyer made a declaration that he doesn't want to buy this object? He's not interested. Says the Rashbam, nevertheless, if it was destroyed by onus before he gave it back to the buyer, he's still chayav. And this seems to be the opinion not only of the Rashbam, but also of the Rosh, as quoted by the Tur in Choshim Mishpat Siman Reish. But the Tur quotes other Shitos who say that the status of the potential buyer when he inspects the goods is that of a Shomer Sachar, which means that he's not Chayav for Onsim. And the Tur quotes the Ramah, who's of the opinion that the status of the potential buyer when he picks up the object to inspect it is that of a Shomer Chinam, which means it's the bare basic level of Achrayus. In fact, the Shulchan Aruch drops the ball on the Shita of the Rashbam. He doesn't even quote the Shita of the Rashbam that there should be a Chiyuv, an absolute Chiyuv even for Onsim, in the case where he has already declared that he's not interested in buying it. Now, getting back to the case of the Tzluchis, according to Rav Hoshea, the case is that the father agreed, in this case the father here plays the role of the seller, agreed to a stipulated price that he would receive as payment for this Tzluchis, and the Chenvani was well aware of that price. And therefore, according to Shmuel, the moment that the Chenvari lifts up the flask, at this point, he immediately acquires ownership with a Chiv Achrayus vis-a-vis this flask. And whatever level of Shmira is generated here, it is clinched by the Hagbah. Now, it's logical to assume that when the buyer picked up this flask in order to inspect it, he would indeed find it to be a perfectly good utensil. And therefore, the intention here on the part of the Chenvani in this case is to indeed buy it, and that generates a Chiyuv Achrayus, and he cannot alleviate himself of the Achrayus without returning the object to its buyer. And therefore, when the father gives this flask over to the child, then at that point, the child now hands over this flask to the Chenvani to inspect it. At that point, the Chenvani takes possession of this object, and therefore he is responsible until he returns the flask to the owner intact. In other words, if that be the case, then if, let's say, the Chenvani gives the flask back to the child, then the Chachamim say he has not exempted himself from payment and responsibility because he hasn't returned to the father. The child is not reliable to offer and provide Shmirah. And therefore it's considered as if the Achrayus, which had to reach its pinnacle in returning the object to its rightful owner, never panned out. And when the tzluchas breaks in the hands of the child, the Chenvani is now responsible to pay for that. The Shita of the Chachamim in our Mishnah is a reflection of the Shita of Shmuel, and that's why the Chenvani is Chayv. Rabbi Yehuda, on the other hand, disagrees, and he rejects the Shita of Shmuel, and therefore he exempts the Chenvani from any liability. He, Rabbi Yehuda, maintains that even when a person inspects something, he doesn't pick it up and acquire ownership over it and responsibility achrayus for it. And if this is the interpretation of the Machlokas in the Mishnah, then when the Mishnah says that the Chachamim, this is the Sefer of the Mishnah, are modim to Rabbi Yehuda, that if the flask is in the hands of the child, then the Chenvani is patur, what he means is that the Chenvani never actually took the flask, the tzluchas, into his hands, and therefore he never made that kinyan akbar to activate the principle of Shmuel. So if and when the child gives over the flask to the hands of the Chenvani, at that point we activate the principle of Shmuel with the akbar on behalf of the potential buyer, namely the Chenvani. He becomes a possessor and liable for the thing. But if the child was holding on to the tzluchas, and the Chenvani never ever lifted up the tzluchas, he just simply poured the contents, the wine or the oil, into the flask, then certainly there is no liability on the part of the Chenvani. And now the Gemara claims, Lema Shmuel Tanoihi. Shall we now assume that Rabbi Yehuda, since he rejects the Sheet of Shmuel, the Chacham accepting the Sheet of Shmuel, are arguing about Shmuel? And, you know, this is not something that's comfortable for Shmuel to cross paths against the Sheet of Atanav, the Sheet of Rabbi Yehuda and our Mishnah. And therefore the Gemara now offers an alternative pshat. Ella, Rabba of Rabbi Yosef, di Amri Travaihu. They have a slightly different interpretation of our Mishnah, and they both concur. Hacha b'chenvani mocher tzluchios askinon. It's the Chenvani who is the seller of flasks, meaning the exact opposite of what we said until now of Hoshaya, namely it's not the father who is selling flasks, but it's the Chenvani. And now that this tzluchos was broken by the child, this was one that the Chenvani was selling to the father. And if this be the case, since the tzluchus was sent with the child, and it was not owned by the father, rather it belongs to the chenvani. The father just thought maybe he would purchase it. He sent the child with a fudjon to purchase the flask filled with oil. The father is not guilty of aveda midas on the flask in the hands of the child, because this flask never belonged to him. The father may have wanted to purchase it, but that purchase is only clinched when the flask reaches his hands. And therefore, as the Rabbi Yehuda l'tamei, v'rabbanu l'tamayhu. And Rabbi Yehuda now is following in his own reasoning, and Rabbanan in their reasoning. And let's just try to understand what the Gemara means by adding that. Rabbi Yehuda says that the chenvani is completely parted from achrayis vis-a-vis the tzluchis, and that is l'shitaso. He's being very consistent, because Rabbi Yehuda himself potted up the chenvani for any responsibility vis-a-vis the shemen and the isar, because basically, according to Rabbi Yehuda, the father himself wanted that the chenvani should send all this home with the child. And since at this point the father is interested in buying the tzluchis, therefore he sent the child, obviously knowing well, full well, that the child would either protect and guard the tzluchis or the opposite, and that activates the principle of Eidah Midas. The Chacham, on the other hand, are of the opinion that the chenvani is chayav for the tzluchis for the very same reason that he's chayav for the shemen and the isar, because the father was merely lo duye, he was just notifying the chenvani that he's in need of a tzluchis that's filled with oil, but he expected the chenvani to deliver it through a more mature and responsible person. The Gemara doesn't like this pshat either. Ihachi, says the Gemara, if you're going to tell me that the flask was being sent by the chenvani to the father in order for the father to inspect it and possibly purchase it, Amos Sefer, how am I going to interpret the last line in the Mishnah that says, Modim Chachamim L'Rabbi Yehuda, that the Chacham agreed to Rabbi Yehuda, Bizman Shatzluchis Biyad Hatinok Umadat Chenvani L'Socha, if the tzluchis was being held by the child and the storekeeper poured the oil into the tzluchis and it never came into the hands of the chenvani patur for amrit lo duye shadre, you just told me that the chachamim are telling us that the purpose and the objective of the father was just simply to notify the storekeeper that he needed oil, and he sent his child just as a note, you know, instead of writing him a note, but he never wanted the storekeeper to send home the tzluchis and the oil with the child. And therefore, if the tzluchis was being purchased, what right does the chenvani have to give the tzluchis over to the child? And therefore, why are we saying that in this case, the chenvani is patur for the breakage of the tzluchis? So now the Gemara is going to present a third possible explanation for the Mishnah, and neither the father nor the chenvani are selling the flask. The child is bringing home his father's flask in order to transport the oil. In other words, the child was sent with this flask in order to receive the oil, store it, and bring it back to his father. The Gemara's original question, therefore, if the father sent the flask with the child and he entrusted the child, then according to the Chachamim, certainly the chenvani should be patur for any breakage, since the father actually gave it over to the child. El Abaye bar Ovin, Rab Chanina bar Ovin, Di Amri Chavayu, Hocha b'mayaskinon. What's the case that we're dealing with in the Mishnah? And here we turn to Daf Peches Omen Aleph Kigon Shenitola Lomud Ba. It means that the chenvani took the tzluchis from the child in order to measure the oil with this tzluchis. Kidei Limdod Ba Sashem and Shiten Latinok Lachem Mischai Bishmirasa. Once he takes the flask into his hand in order to measure out the oil for the purpose of this purchase, then he becomes responsible in guarding the flask, and he's not allowed to return it to the hands of the tinok. And therefore, if he does so, he becomes liable. And it's a very strange kind of complex halach, because on the one hand, the chenvoni receives this sluchis from the son, so it means the father did what we call the aveda midas, and he relied on someone that's unreliable. On the other hand, despite that fact, and we're going to see this is based on the svara, the principle of Rabbah, the chenvoni nevertheless remains responsible if he uses the flask for purposes of measuring out the amount of oil, the volume of oil that he's going to sell to the Rabbah. The Omar Rabbah, this is a Rabbah in Bab Metzia, Daf Lamed Omid Beis, in the case of a Talmud Chacham, or a Zaken, an elderly or a scholarly person that sees a Metzia. This is called Eina Lefi Chvodo, and therefore if it's an animal, for example, he doesn't have to be Osek in Hashavas Aveda to return this animal, and he's potter from returning the animal. Nevertheless, if he saw an animal, he kisha, and he takes out a stick, and he gives the animal a smack on the back, that's called hikisha, and he hits the animal, and that forces the animal to walk a certain distance, then, says Rabbah, nischayevba, all of a sudden, lo and behold, even the zaken or the Talmud Chacham becomes chayev and hashava. And that's called the principle of hikish ba zakaba. And here too, in the case of the chenvoni, even though he technically should be exempt from the tzluchis, because the father had sent the tzluchis with the hands of the child, and that's aveda midas, nevertheless, once the chenvoni picks up the tzluchis from the hands of the tinok in order to measure it out, he becomes chayv in ishmira, and he can't give it back to the yad of the tinok. It's like the case of hikish ba. And this is going to be the analogy of the Gemara to Rabbah, and that's going to swing back to understand why, according to the Chachamim, father is chayv even for the tzluchis, because of this principle of Rabbah of Hikishba. Once the chenvoni takes the flask from the child, he brings it under his achrayus, under his jurisdiction, and he's chayv to return it to the father, and he can't give it over to the child. And therefore the Chachamim say that the chenvoni, once he takes the tzluchis from the hands of the child, he becomes chayev in hashava. Rabbi Yehuda, on the other hand, is of the opinion against the Chachamim that even though the chenvoni took the flask from the child, he's not obligated to return it to the father, and therefore he's exempt if it breaks because of the principle of aveda midas. And according to this pshat in the Gemara, the last addition in the Mishnah is understood. The Chazal, meaning the Rabbanon, Moda to Rabbi Yehuda, that when the flask never enters into the hands of the Chenvani, he never took it from his hands, he is potter from Tashlumin. And the Gemara is not happy with this either. Says the Gemara, Amor di Omar Rabbah, when did Rabbah say such a thing that he kisha? He's chayv, that's only v'balei chayim, with regard to animals, did an kitinu. And kitinu nigra baraisa. What it means is that when he hits the animal, shehikosam, then hirgilam livroach v'oleches rachok. He's really sending the animal at quite a distance, and therefore he's chayev. But ki haigav, in this case with the chenvoni, didn't destroy the flask in his action. He just poured the oil in it and then gave the flask over to the child. Mi Omer, would Rabbah agree that we can extend this principle and apply it even in this case? And therefore, according to Rabbah, the chenvoni becomes chayev in shmira. Why should we go that far? Ella, says the Gemara Rava, ani va'arisha b'chabura, I and the lion amongst our group, we tagaminua, we explain the Mishnah. Now, the Gemara takes a little bit of a break here to explain who is this Arisha b'chaburu manu, who is he? Rabbi Zera. How do they, Rava and Rabbi Zera, interpret this Mishnah? Hakmai askinon, kigon shen nitola, lamudba, le'acherim. That interestingly enough, the Chenvani absconded with this tzluchas, meaning he used it for misappropriated by using it for his own purposes. He wants to use it as a measuring receptacle for wine or oil for others, not for the father of the tinok. And this makes him into a shoel shalomidas. Uvishol shalomidas komiflegi. The machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim and our Mishnah revolves around this issue of a shoel shalomidas. Mar sova Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion shoel havi. Umar sovar gazlan havi. Let's start backwards. The Rabbanan hold that shoel shalomidas gazlan havi. Is chayev in chiyuv exalif. I, without any permission of you, you're the owner of the object, I use your own your object illegally for my purposes, then I become a gazlan. That's called shol shalomidas. Even though I had no intention of stealing it, I just want to use it for my purposes on a temporary basis, I become a gazlan, and a gazlan is not potur until he actually returns the object to the nigzal, and he's chayav b'shmira, and he's chayav b'fonsim, ve'eshus ha'gzeles ha'gazal. And therefore, when he returns the tzluchas to the hands of the tinok, that's not going to exempt the chenvani and fulfill his chiyuv hashava. His chiyuv hashava is to give it to the violent, into the hands of the violent. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that shol shalomidas is not considered a gazlan, he makes himself into a sholel, and therefore, if he returns the object to a place, lemakom shemimenu lokach oso, to the exact place where he had taken it from, that's where he fulfills his chiyuv hashava. So whereas the gazlan has a chiyuv hashava to take the object and return it to the hands of the nigzal, nothing less will do. And certainly if he puts it in the hands of the child, that's not a kiyum of his hashava as a gazlan. But in the case of a shoel, as long as he returns to the exact place from which he took it, he exempts himself. He's mafkia his chiyuv achrayis as a shoel. This chenvani, as soon, according to Rabbi Yehuda, as he replaced the tzluchas by giving it back to the hands of the tinok, which is exactly where he took it from, he has fulfilled his chiyuv hashava as a shoel, and therefore, hence, whatever happens afterwards, he is potter. All right, we'll stop here.